Okay, well, again, welcome, and thank you all for coming. I know it's kind of a later one. You'll probably have things to do, but I appreciate you all being here. Okay, it's supposed to make me louder. Okay. I asked if I could not use one because I'm kind of loud anyway, but I guess I have to. Okay, so to clear the air first, I know my title is Silent, Not Silenced, so some people are probably like, oh, woman's role. She's crazy because she's going to speak on that. And a lot of people don't because it's a touchy subject for some people, and people get all up in arms and offended about it. But the goal and my purpose today is just to encourage women to be active in the church and be leaders in the church in a good way. So I don't want anyone to be like just ready to like, I disagree with you, Molly, because I'm not going to stand up here and say this is right, this is wrong. I just want to encourage everyone. So, okay. I don't know if I'm supposed to write on the board because I'm not supposed to move very far. But here we go. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to write the word leader on the board. And anything that comes to your mind, think, next. Anyone know how to do that? Mackenzie's sister? Click. Oh. Working it out here. Ha! Leader. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to ask for y'all's participation, please. So, words that make you think of the word leader, describing a leader, go ahead. Bear with my spelling. Care. Asthmatic. Medic. Sorry about that. I can't spell that word. Any other ones? There's a lot of girls in here. There we go. Okay, what about just characteristics a leader should have? Just like, should they be humble? Maybe. Like that? Okay. Any more? Okay, it's all right. We'll just talk about it later. Okay, so we're going to put those on the back burner now. And go ahead and, this is going to drive me nuts here. Okay, and so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn. But if you don't, that's all right, because I got it on there for you. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 12, it says, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. So that just talking about submission. And then it goes into Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what they live, not to, oh, I said that twice, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. So that's just saying that, obviously, we should be teachers. Okay, and the next one, 1 Corinthians 14, 33 through 35. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is a disgrace for a woman to speak in church. Okay, I don't know about y'all, but I think probably the first time I read that, I got a little up in arms. I was a little upset. I was like, seriously? I can't do that? I have to ask in my own home about something I want to know? So, I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but I got a little upset. But what we should do, instead of getting upset about the verse, which is, like I said, easy to do, we should find the good in the verse and what we can do with the verse versus what we cannot do with the verse. So, magnifying on submission. Yes, thank you, custom animation. Okay, the definition for submission is inclined or ready to submit, unresistingly or humble or humbly obedient. I think a big issue that we us women have in the world today is that we are confused at what submission means. I feel like a lot of times people see submission as being we're lower or weaker, we're not as good, we can't do anything, we have no voice, but that's just really not how it is. So some synonyms for submission that I found are humble, meek, patient, and obedient. These are some of the top ones that the thesaurus has. And so the thing about that is we are supposed to be humble, we are supposed to be meek, we're supposed to be patient, and we're supposed to be obedient. So how come if someone was to ask you, you know, as Christian women, are we supposed to be humble? Of course we're supposed to be humble. Meek, yes, patient, of course, and especially obedient. But when someone talks about submission, are we supposed to be submissive? We get offended, we're like, well, I guess we're supposed to be submissive. But it's the same thing. So, and nowhere in the list, by the way, were those words weak or lowly. It was all positive things. But some antonyms for a submission were disobedient and fighting. So really, if you're not submissive, you're being disobedient. And obviously, that's not what we want to do. So, now, I'm going to zone in on, like I said, since we are supposed to be humble and meek and obedient, just giving examples of why we are supposed to be that. In Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, of vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And obedience. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So again, that's just emphasizing, I feel like we have no problem being these lists of things, because, you know, that's been drilled and drilled and drilled since we were little, like, you have to obey, be patient. But we look past the things like submission, and that's when we get upset and offended when it's the same thing. Okay, in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when you think about it, yes, we are to be submissive to men, and we're submissive to Christ, but also this is saying that everyone is to be submissive. Men are to be submissive, and we are also to be submissive. So it's not just we're getting called out to be submissive. Like, as children of the Lord, we are all supposed to be submissive. So I think that's important for us to remember. And in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So again, that just saying that, yes, we are to be submissive to men, but over men is God. And so I think we just lose focus in the fact that we're just so concentrated on, well, we have to be submissive to the man. We have to be submissive to the man, but we're called to be submissive to God. And so, should I ask him? Okay, women in submission. So now that we know about submission and that we are supposed to be submissive and other things that are alike or like submission, how do we as women be leaders in the church while still in submission? I think that's the big problem we have with, something we have a hard time with is that we feel like, all right, well, I'm going to be submissive, but I guess that means I can't do anything. I just have to sit in silence. But there are so many things that you can do as a woman to be a leader in the church and still be submissive at the same time. So, now I'm going to have to come over here. Okay, so in Luke, these sticky notes are supposed to help, but I think it's going to make it harder for me. Okay, so in Luke chapter 7, verse 39 through 40, okay, it says, well, I'm not going to start in 39. Let's start at 44. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, this is Jesus talking, by the way. Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven still little loves. Yes. So that's just saying that you can be a leader by showing love. Okay, and the next one is humility, or being humble, in Matthew 15, verse 21. Leaving the place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying on after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, It is not right to take children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus replied, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And so this example just shows that, you know, she didn't come to him wanting the feast from the table. She wasn't like, "Give me the power to heal her," or "You have to heal her right now." But she said, "I'll even take the crumbs that fall on the floor under my master's table." So just being humble is another way to show that. And then strength and example in 2 Timothy, verse 1 through 5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame of the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline." And so when you look at that, it's his grandmother had a great faith, and she taught it to her daughter, and she taught it to him. And so that's just saying that if it comes from like a long line, that even though you can't, might not be able to do something, if you teach it to your children, to your daughters, and to your sons, that they can be a voice that you couldn't be, and that can continue and continue. So if you instill it in your kids and they instill it in their kids, then just keep going. Okay, and then a willingness in Acts chapter 16. Verse 14 says, "One of the listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." So through that, she was willing to help them, and through her hospitality, she was able to help and be a leader. Okay, and the last one is bravery. Esther. I don't know if y'all have read this story of Esther. It's amazing. I think every girl should read it. I mean, everyone should, but especially every girl. So, if you go into Esther, I'll read a verse 14 and then 16. Mordecai is telling Esther, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to royal position for such a time as this." And then what she responds. So, okay, if you haven't heard this story, I'll just give a little update. Mordecai needed, okay, Esther to go to help the Jews and get deliverance. She would need to go ask the king for mercy. Well, to go in front of the king without being called automatically resulted in death. But Mordecai was telling her, "Listen, you know, we need you to do this, and you're in a position that you can do it, but even if you don't do it, God will deliver us still. He doesn't have to have you, but you're in a position where you can, so she should be a leader and be brave and do it." And so her response was, "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maids will fast with you. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So So she's just saying, like, all right, I'm going to be brave, and if I perish, I perish. And I don't know if y'all seen the movie 300. And, okay, I know that's, like, where you're going with that. But the king, Xerxes, in that movie, I mean, he probably didn't look exactly like that, but that's what they, like, think he looked like. He's a scary man. So I don't know. That's just when I realized, I was like, ooh, I wouldn't necessarily want to go in front of him. But she knew what she had to do. And she did it. Oh. Well, okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So, now, the thing that I think the best quality of a leader and the most important quality a leader should have is I think that leader should be a servant. I think if you think of like who our leader is, and obviously the greatest leader of all, is Christ and what a servant he was. And so in Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not men. And then Ephesians 4 was pretty long to touch. So in Ephesians 4:11 through 13. Says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ. So that's just saying that there's so many roles in the church, and that God has given all of us a different role, and that to build up the church, we each have to do that role we've been given. So, the next one is 1 Peter 3-9, and it says, verse 9, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his steps. So, if we're supposed to follow in Christ's example, all of these things, like being, especially being a servant and being humble and being obedient, he was all of that. And so, if we're supposed to follow in his example, then, well, we're supposed to do that also. Okay, so now I feel like in the church, women are given roles that we feel, or not necessarily given roles, but we are seen as having these roles. So I made a little, what's it called? Acronym. I keep wanting to say acrostic. I know that's not right. So W, washing baptistry towels. Y'all know that we'll have to do that maybe one day. O, only doing stuff behind the scenes. M, make food for potlucks, so or buy it if you can't cook like me. E, especially like to gossip. And N, nursery and Bible classes. So I know at first if you look at that list, you might be like, that is not all we do. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong. Okay, there is something wrong with especially liking to gossip. So change that to not gossip is just encouraging words. But there's nothing wrong with washing baptistry towels, and there's nothing wrong with making food for the potluck and teaching Bible class, because those are all acts of service. And if we are supposed to be a servant, then there's nothing wrong with any of those. So, but an acronym that I feel fits women in the church more accurately would be this one. We're walking in faith. We should be observing in humility. We should be making a stand, encouraging others, and realize that we are needed. So, okay. Whoa. So now, if you're wondering why you might have a flashlight, you can get your little flashlight out that's on your table. And if you don't have one, there's a lot more. And if you don't have one that has a cute color behind it, there's still some left, so you can get one after class. But if you take your flashlight, and my analogy for the flashlight is, if you have a flashlight and you have batteries, but there's no batteries in the flashlight because you took them out. In the church, if you like, the man is seen as the flashlight, and the women are seen as the batteries. Now, we shouldn't get all cocky and be like, we make it work. But the thing about it is, if you have a flashlight sitting right here without any batteries, it's just a big piece of plastic with a piece of glass and a button to push. It doesn't do anything. And then if you have the battery sitting right there, Well, I don't know what they're made out of, but they're just sitting there and they're not going to do anything. But the thing about it is when you put the batteries in the flashlight, that's when the light comes on. But you can't see the batteries. You don't know what's making that light come on, but it's coming on. And the thing is that we don't have to be seen, but we are there, we're needed. Because you can have 1,000 flashlights. Without batteries, there's not going to be a light. So if we keep wanting to be the flashlight, and no one wants to be a battery, or no one is being the battery, then we'll never have light. So it's important to know that it's okay to be the battery and not be seen, because the light's going to come on. So now, well, a little quicker. Well, I thought it'd go longer than that. But let me emphasize my concluding words here. My purpose in speaking on this wasn't just to give you stories about women that were leaders in the church or leaders in church and life, but my purpose of this was to say we shouldn't dwell on the things that we are not called to do. Because if we keep dwelling on the things that we can't call, like, you know, if we can't give a chapel devo, or if we can't get up and lead prayers, we can't lead singing, if that's all we focus on doing, then, you know, nothing's going to get done, because we are called to do something. We might not be called to do that, but we are called to do the other things that we talked about. Being humble, being a servant, I mean, we're called to do that. Teaching Bible classes, how important is that? Because, you know, teach a little boy all the Bible class stories, he grows up to be a preacher. We help that happen. So, I just think it's so important that we remember and see that it's not just, all right, the man gets to do everything, and we just have to sit and be submissive. It's we do something. And if we sit there and think about it, and we just sit there and think, all right, you know, I can't do something, then the things that God put us here to do will not get done. And obviously, if he put us here to do something, he wants us to do them. So with all that, there are so many things that we can do in the church. So on your flashlight, on the back of it, I want you to think of something that you can do in the church. It's something, a way that you can be a leader. And you know, if you don't want it to be in the church, that's fine. You could put something that you can be a leader at school and in the church, or in your job and at church. But just so you can stick it in your Bible at hopefully one of these verses stood out to you and helped you. But you can stick it there in your Bible, and someday you're flipping through it, and you're like, oh, man, I need to be a leader. I haven't been a leader. Or the next time you say, oh, I guess I can't lead a prayer, or I can't do this because the guy's around, be like, you know what? I may not be able to do that, but this is what I can do. And so I just encourage all to focus on the things that we can do, because someone's got to do them, and God put us here to do them. So that's all I have. Pretty short, but hopefully I got something out of it, because it's something I'm pretty passionate about. And if you have any questions or comments, you can say them now if you want to, or you can come see me after. But that's all, and thank you very much for coming.